Acts chapter number 4. Acts chapter number 4 starts in the book of Acts after a miraculous church service of chapter 3, where somebody laid a lame man down at the beautiful gate and God healed him. There's a lot of repercussions as went on now because of this miraculous event. Now we pick up in Acts chapter number 4, and we're going to see two Bible characters. They were Peter and John. They were men that were sold out, going for the cause of Christ. God had changed them and had saved their life. I wonder this morning, has God saved you and changed your life? And so here they face some struggles. And we find them in Acts 4 now, verse 1. The Bible said, "And as they spake unto the people, the priest and the captain of the temple and the Sadducees came upon them, being grieved that they taught the people and preached through Jesus the resurrection from the dead. They laid hands on them and put them in hold until the next day, for it was now eventide. Howbeit many of them which heard the word believed. And the number of the men was about 5,000. It came to pass on the morrow that their rulers and elders and scribes, and Annas the high priest, and Cephas, and John, and Alexander, and as many as were the kindred of the high priest were gathered together at Jerusalem. And when they had set them in the midst, they asked, by what power or by what name have you done this? Then Peter, filled with the Holy Ghost, said to them, ye rulers of the people and elders of Israel, if we this day be examined of the good deed done by the impotent man, by what means he's made whole, be it known unto you all and to all the people of Israel that by the name of Jesus Christ of Nazareth, whom ye crucified, whom God raised from the dead, even by him doth this man stand here before you whole. This is the stone which is set at naught of you builders, which has become the head of the corner. Neither is there salvation in any other, for there's none other name under heaven given among men whereby we must be saved. Now when they saw the boldness of Peter and John and perceived that they were unlearned and ignorant men, they marveled and they took knowledge of them that they had been with Jesus. And beholding the man which was healed standing with them, they could say nothing against it. But when they commanded them to go aside out of the council, they conferred among themselves, saying, what shall we do to these men? For that indeed a notable miracle hath been done by them, is manifest all them that dwell in Jerusalem, and we cannot deny it, but that it spread no further among the people. Let us straightly threaten them that they speak henceforth to no man in this name. And they called them and commanded them not to speak at all, nor teach in the name of Jesus. But Peter and John answered and said unto them, whether it be right in the sight of God to hearken unto you more than unto God, judge you. For we cannot but speak the things which we've seen and heard. You may be seated this morning. Father, we bless you for the good day and the time together. I pray, Lord, that you would help me today with the Spirit of God. Lord, I pray that in these last days of preaching, I ask you to help me, Lord, to magnify the precious Son of God in this of what you've called me to do. Help our church, those that are struggling together. Help us as a church body today. These families, Lord, they need a word. They need encouragement. They need direction, instruction. Help us in our lives. Those, God, that are sick, I pray that you touch them on the bed of affliction today. God, help those this morning. And we ask these things in the name above all names, the Lord Jesus Christ, that I pray, amen and amen. I want to preach this morning on this thought out of Acts chapter number 4 on this title. When our faith and culture collide. When our faith and culture collides. What are you talking about, preacher? Well, first of all, let me explain to you what culture is. We live in a strange culture. The word culture simply means this. It is the stage of civilization. The stage of the world. The stage of civilization is our culture. We are in a spiritual warfare and a battle in our culture. We are in a spiritual warfare and battle in our homes, in our lives, and in our churches. You see, this warfare is mainly about five main things. First of all, it has to do with authority. God versus man. You know, man don't want to hear much about what God's got to say. Because man seems to think that they've got everything figured out. But can I tell you, without God, man would not exist this morning. Man did not make God, but God made man. Therefore, we see that we are in a battle. It is about authority, God versus man. Then it has to do with control. That is about God and Satan. Satan is the prince of this old world, of this air. Satan is not some fella in a red suit with pointed ears and a pitchfork sitting in a corner. Satan is walking to and fro in this world. He's trying to destroy your life and my life, your home and my home. And certainly it is a battle about control. With God versus Satan. You know, there's some crazy songs been written in this world. One song comes to mind is that song that's been written that mama's in heaven teaching angels to sing. That's the craziest thing I ever heard. Ain't nobody teaching no angels to sing. Somebody say, they've been singing a long time. Then I heard another crazy song. The devil's in the phone booth dialing 911. Honey, the devil ain't dialing 911. He's dialing 678-378-6930. Hello, somebody pick up the phone this morning. The devil is after you and I. The devil's not giving up. He knows his time is short. And he's about his business today. And therefore, we see mainly five things that we're in battle or conflict with. We're in conflict about authority in our nation, God versus man. That of control in our nation, God versus Satan. And then it's another battle that is raging. It is about truth. That is Bible versus opinion. I heard a homosexual man that was running for president. He said, it's not what the Bible says, it's how you interpret the Bible. Honey, let me go on and tell you this morning, the Bible is the truth and the Word of God, and let you yea be yea, and you know no this morning. It don't matter how you interpret it, it's what God said in this King James Bible. So there is a battle about truth, the Bible versus opinion. Many of you have a different opinion about the Bible. But you better take the truth of the Word of God and lose your opinion and follow what thus saith the Word of God. Then there's a fourth part of this big web, not only about authority and control and truth, but it's about the future of a nation. Will it go to revival or will it go to ruin? And then fifthly, it's about people. This struggle is about people. It's a heaven to gain and a hell to shun.
Now, let's look at these Bible characters this morning in Acts chapter number 4. And let's look on this thought when our faith and culture collide. You see, God has not saved you to put you in a corn crib with blinders on all week. God has put many of you in the business world. He's put you in places to reach people that nobody else can reach. Some of you has been placed in dark places, but just a little light goes a long way in a dark place. You may think, well, I've chosen this career and I've done this and I've set my pathway. Let me tell you, friend, if you love God and you're living according to this Bible, God will put things in your path that only God can put in your path. God has us scattered every place in all walks of life, and I guarantee you, your faith is going to collide with culture. Your faith, whether you're a school teacher or you're a wood splitter, whether you're a preacher or a Sunday school teacher, your faith is going to meet opposition with culture. And let's look at how these men handled this great opposition in their culture. First of all, you'll notice in Acts 4, verses 8 through 12, they would share their faith. Now, here is two men, simply Peter and John. They have been accused by the Sanhedrin, by the high courts, by the big dudes of the day. And you'll notice they didn't have any problem with God, but they had a big problem about Jesus, the name above all names. Can I tell you, this culture don't have much problem with God, because the Muslims can get along with that saying about God. But when you talk about the Lord Jesus Christ, you're drawing a line in the sand. And these men, they were eager to share their faith. Let's look at it in verse 8. Then Peter, filled with the Holy Ghost, said unto them, "Ye rulers of the people and elders of Israel, if we this day be examined of the good deed done to the impotent man, by what means he's made whole, be it known unto you all, and to all the people of Israel, that by the name of Jesus Christ of Nazareth, whom you crucified, whom God raised from the dead, even by him doth this man stand here before you whole. This is the stone which is set at naught of you builders, which has become the head of the corner. Neither, underline this, neither is there salvation in any other, for there's none other name under heaven given among men whereby we must be saved." If you're going to heaven, you're going because you're saved. The Bible says you must be born again. The only way you can be saved is put your heart and your trust in the Lord Jesus Christ and repent of your sins. I still believe in repentance. I still believe in preaching the old-fashioned gospel. I still believe the death and the burial and the resurrection of the Lord Jesus. I believe God put His Son upon an old rugged cross for your sin and my sin. He didn't put Buddha there. He didn't put Allah there. He didn't put Muhammad there. He didn't put a preacher there. But He put the darling Lamb of God where John seen Him and said, "Behold the Lamb of God that taketh away the sin of the world." Thank God it is a bloody gospel. I'm glad I'm saved by the good grace of God this morning. Whoop, hallelujah. Thank the Lord they would share their faith. I want to ask you, do you share your faith? I preached last Sunday on the rich man Joseph of Arimathea. He was a secret disciple. Nobody knew that he was a disciple of the Lord, but the Lord knew who he was. And let me tell you today, even though that he was such a great asset to the body of the Lord, can I tell you today, it's no time to be a secret disciple. The Bible says, "Let the redeemed of the Lord say so." It's about time that God's young'uns share their faith again. There's been nobody to change my life like Jesus. This December I'll be married 40 years by the grace of God. God allowed me to marry probably the greatest woman that's ever lived in this country. But honey, that was a great day in my life. But the greatest day in my life is when the Lord Jesus come and knocked on my heart and I opened up my soul and God moved in. And I say, I'm glad to be a child of the King this morning. They would share their faith. Share your faith in the opposition of your culture. Tell people how good Jesus is. Tell them what happened to you. And if you've had nothing happen to you, then you ought to pray that God would move on your soul so you could be born again by the good grace of God. Is anybody glad that God saved one day? Amen. Share your faith. They said, we not backing down, boys. We telling you we mean what we preaching. We mean what we're saying. He said, there's salvation. There is salvation in any other. For there is none other name under heaven given among men whereby we must be saved. They would share their faith. Verse 19. Not only do we see that they would share their faith, but they would stand firm. Verse 19. The Bible said, but Peter and John answered and said to them, whether it be right in the sight of God to hearken unto you more than unto God, judge ye. For we cannot but speak the things which we've seen and heard. Now I want to teach you something real briefly and I'll get on and close this sermon. The Bible says, render the things of Caesar that are Caesar's. The Bible teaches us in the book of Romans, chapter 12 and 13, that we are to obey the authority. But when our authority tells us to put our Bible away, it's time to disobey authority and to mind God. When our authority tells us to go against this Bible, it's time to stand up and say, for me and my house, we're going to serve the Lord. You got to get it nailed down in your heart. Are you going to live for men or are you going to live for God? You better have it nailed down in you, friend, because there's a culture coming our way and it's coming like a steamboat our house. You see, not only would they share their faith, but they would stand firm. You know, the Bible teaches something about standing. Where is the Christians in election? Tell me why the evangelicals would not turn out at the polls and vote. We have a vote. And God wants us to stand for what's right. Doing all to stand. We're to stand for our families. We're to stand for our communities. If they bring this hogwash into our school system, it ought to be lines from here to the courthouse rebuking and standing up and saying, we're not going to allow our children to be taught that junk. I don't know about y'all, but I pay enough on school taxes. Praise God, that's one good thing about getting there to 65. They'll drop 70%. Somebody say amen. I don't understand why a man 60-year-old putting young ones in school. I guess because there's so many sorry young people ain't got a job. Somebody say amen. I done put my young ones through school and I put yours through school. Be a man up and get you a job. If we're going to pay that kind of money, we ought to have a say-so. We let a bunch of liberals come in and snooze us out and say, well, we can't say nothing. Why can't you say something? The Bible says, doing all to stand. Look at Ephesians 6 and 10. I didn't have much energy when I got up here, but there's a Roman candle in me right now. Ephesians 6. Y'all, thank God you ain't got a little whippy Mickey Mouse preacher. Ephesians 6 and 10. Look here, Mom and Daddy. Finally, my brethren, be strong in the Lord and in the power of His might. Put on the whole armor of God. Here's our text. That you may be able to stand against the wiles of the devil. For we wrestle not against flesh and blood, but against principalities and against powers, against the rulers of the darkness of this world, against spiritual wickedness in high places. You know why? That they're wanting to teach our children that they can choose their own gender the older they get, because it's of the devil. If you was born a boy, you still a boy. If you was born a girl, you still a girl. And it don't matter what kind of legislation passed, honey, God put that down before the foundation of the world and deal with it this morning. Stand. He don't say run, but he says stand. Look, for we wrestle not against flesh and blood. It's not these liberal politicians. It's the devil that's moving and instrumenting them. Wherefore, take unto you the whole armor of God. Here it is, that you may be able to withstand in the evil day. And having done all to stand. Verse 14 says it again. Stand therefore, having your loins girt about with truth, and having on the breastplate of righteousness. Your feet shod with the preparation of the gospel of peace. Above all, taking the shield of faith, wherewith ye shall be able to quench all the fiery darts of the wicked. They would stand firm. It's time that God's people stand firm. I don't know about you, but I love my grandbabies this morning. And I don't know about you, I love your babies this morning. Matter of fact, I love your youngins more than anything in this whole ministry. And somebody needs to stand for you. You need to stand for yourself. You need to stand for your church. Stand for your nation. Stand for your brother and sister. Stand for your mom and daddies. Done all to stand this morning. They would share their faith. They would stand firm. Verse 23, I never noticed this, Brother Mike. I seen this last night. I want y'all to look at this right here. Verse 23 is so powerful. It touched my heart. Preaching this morning on when our faith and culture collide. You hear me preaching on when our faith and culture collide? What'd they do? They shared their faith. They stood firm. But look at verse 23. They stayed with the flock. The Bible said, and when they heard that, let's get verse 23, being let go, they went to their own company and reported all that the chief priests and elders had said unto them. What'd they do, preacher? They got their backside to church. Stay in the flock. I like that little phrase, and they went into their own company. I'm glad we got a kindred spirit this morning. Some of you ride in a red car and a black car and a white car. That's why we're not robots. We all have choices and decisions to make. But we got some things in common. Number one, we're all going to meet God. Number two, He sent His Son to die for all of us. Number three, we're living in a crazy upside down world. And we need each other. We need the support of the church. We need the support of our brothers and sisters. When we come pray in our own company, thank God there's people that'll pray with us this morning. They went to their own company. There's some places I just don't fit. Thank God we got a country church. This highfalutin crowd, they've done packed up their bag and got out of here this morning. Some of you done got nervous. You wanting to go, but you're too embarrassed to get up on me while I'm preaching. Somebody would know you as a liberal. Get quiet. I preached. You won't even eat no dinner today. They went to their own company. I've never noticed that, Brother Adam. They know where they could go. One of the best friends of my life said this to me one time, Brother David. He said, you know, that's a good church there. And I'm not saying it's not a good church, but they just ain't my kind of people. It does matter that you go where you belong. It does matter. Hey, turn me off. In a moment, we...